Hello, welcome to the Dot Metaverse podcast. I'm Ido Siegel, CEO of Touchcast. We're leading the metaverse into the enterprise realm. Join us every week as we explore key themes and ideas surrounding the metaverse. Today, we have a very special treat for you, our loyal listener. We have Spencer Holt with us.
It grabs you more than what e-learning definitely can do, and at times, even what happens in the classroom. Was there a way to create, using technology, an experience where people could feel what the patient was going to feel?
Thank you so much for joining us today. Spencer is a longtime friend and a compatriot on the journey of innovation. He's one of those inspiring leaders that takes risks and is very focused on improving everybody around him. I've learned a lot from him, and I thought it would be really wonderful to spend a bit of time talking about the current junction we're at in the state of the world and how technology intersects with that. So much going on. Spencer, thank you so much for joining us today. I would love to start by maybe introducing yourself a bit and kind of your journey. I know you've also recently made a change, and maybe just a few words on kind of your roots and what brought you to this amazing set of accomplishments that is your journey.
Yeah, no, thank you. That was a very kind introduction. And I'll give you a Reader's Digest version of kind of a little bit who I am. And born and raised in Canada, and did an undergrad in finance, and I grew up in Alberta. So like any good Albertan, I did a startup in oil and gas, because that's Alberta's famous for that. And we ended up kind of getting out of that and selling that. And we were in Northern Alberta, which was minus 20 degrees for 4 to 5 months. My wife was like, we need to leave. So the natural thing to do was to go from Northern Alberta to Las Vegas, Nevada. We went from freezing cold to super hot. I did my master's in adult learning. And at that point, I was super interested to, you know, at realizing what does that make really great leaders? And why do people learn differently than others? And why are there some people that are leaders that inspire others? And then there are other leaders that almost like suck the air out of the room and have caused people to shrink. And so I started that journey. And then I became a sales rep at AstraZeneca because I wanted to keep doing my PhD, and we just had our second baby, and my wife said, you should probably get a job before we do more school. So I started to, you know, I worked at AstraZeneca as a sales rep and a district manager while doing my PhD. And then it made sense. I decided to go back to Canada and open up restaurants. We opened up the first two Five Guys Burgers and Fries because that makes a lot of sense in the career path.
I did not know that about you. So can I get fries with that?
Well, exactly. You know, and a shake, right? I had a vision of changing the turnover rate of fast food restaurants and saying, could we cause people to want to stay in a different model? And so I've always been fascinated by large transformational projects.
Did that work out, by the way?
It worked out for somebody, just not for me. We ended up.
Did you manage to figure out how to keep these high school students motivated flipping burgers?
You know what? I would say we gave it a good try, but I'm not sure we cracked the code. and I think we did some things well, and we definitely did not do some things well. And a venture capital group came and took it over, and I realized too that I didn't want to spend my life flipping hamburgers and running restaurants. And at that point, I actually was able to go back to AstraZeneca, and I went and lived over in England for 5 years, where we looked at big, large enterprise learning solutions. And that's where I really got to finish my PhD in leadership development. And we started to look at development in a differentiated way. And, you know, I'm always one where how do you push the boundaries of both innovation and learning to create great learning experience that can help transform behaviors. And we did a lot of cool stuff there. And then just recently, like you said, as much as I loved my time at AstraZeneca, I thought, wow, I'd love to do this in not just one company. What if I could do this in 10 or 20 different organizations? And so I now am a co-founder in a group called Global Leader Group, where I run our leadership and learning function, where we help both leaders and organizations be more intentional in the way that they're developing their leaders and creating experiences that can transform organizations, and where learning becomes a strategic driver to performance.
And how much would you say, what is the role of technology in achieving that goal? Is because how do you look at that as you start advising? And you were at AstraZeneca for how long? I mean, it was a pretty...
It was a combined 17 years.
Yeah, right. And the last role you did there was kind of running the whole kind of sales enablement training of their entire global workforce, right? It was a pretty big challenge, yeah. I would imagine.
It was a great challenge. And, you know, your question of where does technology play a role? I'm a big believer that technology should be a red thread through your learning strategy, but it should not dictate your strategy. It needs to support and enable your strategy. And so I always let people know is be really clear on what you're trying to cause, your framework, and, you know, begin with the end in mind. And as you're clear on that, you then need to find the right technology that is going to support that strategy and enable it and push it. And what's funny is I think a lot of organizations say, oh, I'd love a silver bullet where it's one piece of technology. And I haven't found that silver bullet yet. It's usually a cocktail. You don't need a lot of different technologies, but you do need to be very, I think, intentional in the technologies that you're using that helps you execute your strategy.
Right. I think that's probably a great segue into the topic of this podcast, which is the impact that the .metaverse has on enterprise, which is obviously an area with lots of confusion and lots of smoke screens and mirages. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to have the conversation with you, because you have so much of wisdom and looking at because you're an innovator. I've seen you embrace a lot of different things. We've done some of that work together. So you've kind of lived a lot of lives and you've seen things that work, things that didn't work. We've done a lot of work together in the video world, where TouchGuest in its earlier stage was very focused on how to make the videos interactive and multidimensional and kind of deal with the cognitive stage of the content that's embedded in dialogue. And I think maybe the useful metaphor for us is that exact thing, the metaphor of what is it that when we try to help people learn a skill, whether it's soft or hard, et cetera, what is the medium by which we can bestow to them this capability? And tell me what you think about this concept that the metaverse is really grounded in gaming, right? That's really where it's very evolved. And our kids have spent a majority of their lives in these alternative universes and they're growing up into the workforce. Really, the notion of play, the concept of play, of simulation, just like a kitten plays with a ball to learn how to hunt, the ability to simulate a lot before you are actually trying to do that thing. And maybe what the metaverse offers to us is a potential is getting closer, much closer to the reality of a situation, because it simulates the world in which we navigate, as opposed to slideware that tries to explain to us how to deal with, like, all these other tools are really intermediary tools, proxies to the actual thing. And the metaverse construct, VR, and really allows us to get much closer to that and therefore iterate more and become better. Does that resonate with you?
Well, it not only resonates, but the reality of today around the learner is we have... the learner is more distracted than they've ever been. And my guess is anyone that's listening to this, you know, just look around you. How many devices do you have at your fingertips right now, right? Like, my guess is someone's got an iPhone, an iPad, a computer, a TV screen. And what we find in my own research is anyone that sits down to learn or is on a Zoom call, they have already 3.7 screens attached to them. So you're already competing for their attention. And if you don't provide an immersive experience that helps them filter out the noise and helps them forget about their phone or forget about their email, then you never fully get them immersed in what they're trying to learn, and they become distracted. And in fact, when we've played around with virtual reality and looking at metaverse, one of the reasons why we're so impacted by this is one of the stats that I'm just amazed at is that employees that have gone into the metaverse or into virtual reality are 4 times more focused during their learning than e-learning. And they're even 1.5 times more focused than classroom. And so what the metaverse allows you to do, to your point, when you're gaming and you are simulated, it does something to the brain. The synapses, the endorphins, it grabs you more than what e-learning definitely can do. And at times, even what happens in the classroom. And that's why I think you can't ignore this. Any learning function or organization that says, oh, we're going to ignore it, you're like, this is not one that you should ignore. It needs to be in your journey at some point. It might not be today, but if you ignore it, you're going to be behind.
Right. And we can spend 3 hours unpacking that. I wish we had, but let's try to maybe slightly create a taxonomy there. Like the reason that it is, the outcome is impressive. You have the data to support it. You've seen it. The reason for that, let's try to unpack why that is. So you said, like in a gaming, the endorphins, the joy that creates, the embodiment, the fact that it's effectively, your brain kind of thinks that it's there, right? So that's very different from, I guess it's kind of like good watching a good movie, right? If you have a good director where she may call the shots in the right way, she manages to capture your brain 100%. Like you're fully immersed in that experience. You're crying, you're laughing, you're there, right? Which one can argue you can also achieve when you read a good book, right? So why is it that, like, what has happened to us? Are we desensitized to the point because we need higher and higher stimulation to even just stay in our attention? Like, what do you think?
Well, I think, look, our attention spans I say this jokingly. I think TikTok has ruined the world, right? Only because I have teenagers and they're constantly on it. But the reality of it is, people are conditioned. If you can't give me this information in less than 2 minutes, I'm switching, I'm scrolling. And so what happens is, I think today is, if you haven't captured emotionally that person in the first 10 to 30 seconds, they're switching their attention somewhere else. And I think that is, for organizations that are trying to have behavioral change in their employees, their leaders, their salespeople, their engineers, their technology. If you think about it, if you're not emotionally connecting with them, they're going to the next thing that is going to do that with them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, there's something about, because of the way that people learn outside of work and what they access outside of work, it's forcing us, when we're in an organization now, to say, we have to connect emotionally, and our learning needs to mirror what they're doing outside of work, not just, and then trying to do something different when they're inside of work.
I think that sense of being really jaded by technology, you mentioned the TikTok phenomenon or Instagram, whatever that is, and the sense that, I was always one of those people that would advocate for technology being a savior, right? I recall a lot of conversations with my dearest friends that were kind of pushing back. A very specific friend that loved, the kind of person that would love vinyl and explain, why do you need to, and I would always be, belittling him for not embracing technology. And I've felt, as I'm sure many people in my position have over the last few years, that we're really seeing a dark outcome from these very promising technologies. I mean, we always thought that, social media would be the conduit to empowerment and everybody having a voice in a world where we treated big media as some evil overlord. And here we are, we're contending with this. And I think people are properly concerned when Mark Zuckerberg talks about Meta, and now he wants to, and there's all these narratives. And I think for me as an entrepreneur, as an optimist, because I can't do what I'm doing without being an optimist, I always try to look at the half full. And when I look at what these technologies offer, the word empathy really comes to mind for me. And I think you were speaking about it at the Metaverse Summit that we ran at CES, of this particular example where, now you might, again, our readers might be jaded about a topic like pharmaceutical industry for similar reasons, but the reality is people have suffered through illness and drugs make them feel better. And you had a particular example where the empathy generation really had a meaningful outcome. If you can share a bit of that anecdotally, I think would be really interesting to our listeners.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we started with an experiment, and the experiment was, how do you help our sales representatives understand what a patient feels like when they get a disease, whether heart failure, COPD, and so we actually first started to do this where it we didn't use any technology, we would send people a kit and they would, you know, they'd breathe through a straw and see how it'd feel like if you had, you know, you could only breathe so many seconds, beats per minute. And what we found out was that when our people could understand the journey of the patient, they were more empathetic. They were more energized to be more proactive in finding the right solutions for patients. And so the question was that actually took a long time and it was very expensive. So we thought, was there a way to create within using technology an experience where people could feel what the patient was going to feel? And so that's where we really started experimenting with virtual reality. And we did it with a heart failure patient. And it was a really cool. Like, you know, we'd send out the headsets and the first thing they would do is they'd get a phone call from their physician and you'd be inside and you could see everything. And it was a very emotional, visceral experience from getting a phone call to having your hand swell up to not being able to walk through the park. And the data suggested that not only were the people that experienced that emotionally impacted by it, but they actually, when they were in front of the customers, they were more effective in the way that they communicated to the customer because of the emotional impact of the training that they went through. And so we learned a lot of, I think, even what worked well and what we would do next, if that makes sense.
And I would argue that all sales is empathy, right? Do you agree with that statement?
Well, it's connecting, right? Like if you can, yes, absolutely. Like, look, there's 100 sales models out there, but at the end of the day, if you as a salesperson are not able to connect with the individual that you're selling to and the cause, and you don't believe in what you're selling, you're not going to be successful. And so absolutely empathy and your ability to connect with both the customer and the greater cause of why you're doing it is ultimately one of the things that drives performance and effectiveness in your salespeople.
Right. So in your current new adventure, are you focused on the sales persona or journey, or are you much broader in your ambition of leadership development?
Yeah, we're kind of a little bit broader. We still do a lot of sales leadership and sales coaching, but we do a lot right now in the belonging space. You know, today we've talked about it, right? Like organizations, the great resignation and people's ability to feel that they belong, mm-hmm. and how they're connected to the purpose of the organization. We do a lot of that. And so I think one of the things that we're really thinking about and we work with organizations on is technology can't be the solve-all. You need to find out what's the right balance. So what is that appropriate balance to create something in the metaverse followed by the right coaching or the right human interaction? And I think that's the other thing that we're really kind of excited about exploring with organizations is finding the right balance of using technology, but then also helping people be grounded in the human interaction that I think you can't do one or the other. I think you need to do both and you need to find the right mix.
And this is taking you to different cultures around the world, if I understand correctly. And that must be fascinating for you. For us at TouchCast, we're in over 18 countries. And with that many languages, it's always been very fulfilling for me personally to be able to engage with these different lenses. And it's always amazing how we all see the world slightly differently. If I were to invite you on behalf of the UN to formulate a leadership development program for ministers of the Russian government and the Ukrainian government right now, not the leaders, but the level down, and you had like 2 minutes to come up with an exercise of what you would do with them in the metaverse to help get these two sides to see each other and maybe arrive at a different outcome than the one that they're on the course for, what would that exercise look like?
Oh, that's a great question. So in my 2 minutes, I run a podcast called Small Things Make a Big Difference, and I interview leaders all over the world. And I've taken all the data from these over, you know, 70 plus interviews I've done with leadership. There's three foundational truths to leadership that I believe that are grounded that I think would help this group of people you just described. So it's, how would you, in the metaverse, help leaders not only just understand what are the core values of what they're leading to. Because if you think about it, core values are what dictate your daily actions. And how do you have alignment? Core values don't need to be the same, but you need to understand what are your core values of a leader and how are you leading to them? So we'd start with that, and we'd see both the similarities and the differences of the groups, and we would discuss that. We would look at that. We would say, how does that show up in leading both of these countries? The second one, which I think is going to be really important for you, is soulful curiosity. How do we help our leaders understand that there's probably a different way to look at the problems that they are facing and the solutions that they're trying to solve for? And to your point around working all over the world, you recognize that as a leader, as I become more soulfully curious and that I don't have all the answers and that there's different lenses to look at, I solve differently and I invite people to look at differently. And then the third foundational truth to leadership, which I'm sure you're dying to know, is that belonging matters. And how, as you bring this group of two very different countries, or maybe not so different, that when at the core of our human nature, that we all just want to belong to something greater than what we're, you know, than just ourselves. How does that matter? How does that change us to lead differently? And if you could do that in the metaverse, I think you would probably come up with some really unique both conversations, but also a leadership experience that causes these two countries and leaders to realize, you know what? There's a lot more similarities than our differences here, and we should probably act differently.
You see, that's what I was talking about when I introduced you in the beginning as an inspirational leader. I gave you only 2 minutes to solve world peace, and you almost got there. Thank you, Spencer, so much for spending some time with us. Your podcast is amazing, and we will link to it in the show notes as well. Amazing conversations. I'm sure people will find that all of your insights are very valuable and how to have a meaningful life in your work life and elsewhere. And let's finish with the amen to what you just said. Let's hope that people will realize how much we all have in common. And that will let us through to the light and the place where we're creating and not destroying. So thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
I'm such a massive fan of what you're doing and look forward to kind of future collaborations. And so thank you for allowing to be here, but also just the entrepreneurial innovation spin that you're doing to help push the boundaries of learning. So I just love all that you're doing. Thank you.
Thanks. Start your .metaverse journey today. You can claim your .metaverse Web3 domain for free right now at touchcast.com. Thank you so much for joining us. Subscribe today to stay up to date with our latest episodes.